Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Hello, 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 and good evening. These are the kind of shows that the News Lady just absolutely lives for. You guys have been following it on CNN. You've been following it on Fox News. You've been following it all over the place because, in fact, Michael Kay, you can't help but to escape if you turn on any television set or open up your laptop or your smartphone or your BlackBerry and see something about the General Petraeus scandal that is taking place. I mean, MK, it's everywhere.
I know. Petraeus really had a lot of energy left for him being 60 and everything. He's one sly fox in a whole heap of mess. So I'm really so excited to hear from Grover as to what the scoop is down there in Tampa.
Hey, Grover, listen, before you give us the 411, I had mentioned everyone to Michael and Grover before the show started that Michael and I have to get some special music for Grover, because every single time we hear Grover on the air, that means something has gone bonkers in the state of Florida. So first, you guys couldn't figure out the elections and you had the long lens. That's another story. We won't talk about that. But Grover, need some kind of special music for you, love.
Yeah, I definitely do. I always come to the show with some kind of juicy gossip, so it's always fun to be on with you guys.
Well, listen, I want you to start off, because I think this is really good, before Michael jumps in after you answer this question. You answered it for me, but I think a lot of people want to know this. How is it, first, that Jill Kelly was able to make that connection and build a relationship with the Petraeus family?
So, basically, pretty much she was here in Florida, or actually wherever there's an FBI office. Citizens can actually go and ask, or there's a special program that citizens can go through. It's called the FBI Citizens class. And so it's either you're invited into this class through your background, or if you know someone that's in the FBI or someone that's in the armed forces, they can pretty much say, hey, listen, I know this person. They really should join your class, your FBI class. Can they join? And so it's pretty much an invitation that she got. And so pretty much she was in this citizens training class, where they talk about different actual old cases that they've covered, anything from terrorism to wars that have happened that the FBI has investigated different cases. So that's one part, how she became intertwined with the FBI. And then she also became an honorary citizen of the MacDill Air Force Base here in Tampa. So basically she could get on base without having a military escort her anywhere. She could just walk on, show her ID, and say, hey, I'm an honorary citizen of this base. I have full access to the space. So she basically started talking to different generals, different officers at MacDill, and that's how she became the socialite at MacDill and at the FBI here in Tampa.
Michael, we have been missing out. We need to become honorary citizens of all these things too, love.
Yeah, I don't want to have any part of it. I tell you, I get in trouble on Facebook with my emails. Never mind having to go ahead and have the FBI double check it. But Kelly was actually friends with the family. Is that correct, Grover?
Yes, she was. 2 years ago, when I actually first moved down to Tampa, we covered the story. We have this Guava Bean parade every year in Tampa. So my first year here, I go to Guava Bean, and I'm still have to represent myself as part of the media when I'm at these things. So we saw that Lisa Kelly and David Petraeus and his wife were David Petraeus and his wife were at Joe Kelly and her husband's house on Bayshore Boulevard here in Tampa. So that's how they actually started knowing each other. And then there's also a backstory. Pretty much it's a whole big tangled web of everything that's hard to untangle. But David Petraeus actually knew Joe Kelly's sister, and so that's how that portion of the story happened too. And Joe Kelly and her sister lived together in the same house on Bayshore Boulevard.
Well, I tell you, just quickly for those of you that are joining us right now as the show is in progress, I jumped the gun too much and just started talking about it. But Grover Merle is joining us today, and he's with a television station in Tampa, Florida. He's been on many, many times, Michael, when we have news crunch, and it just so happens it's always stuff that happens in his state. So he's always kind enough to join us. So, of course, we're talking about the Petraeus scandal. And Michael, you know, also, and Grover, from my information, at least just from watching the news, I find it so interesting how, you know, basically sort of a Google Gmail brought down this general where allegedly Paula Blackwell, who was the writer, autobiographer of General Petraeus, was sending these sort of threatening, I guess, emails to Jill Kelly. And then Jill Kelly decides to ask her FBI friend, I guess, who decided to look into it. But it is interesting because, you know, a lot of the conspiracy theorists out there are saying that the only reason why this happened and the timing of this was as a result of Petraeus having to speak on the Benghazi hearings that's in happening actually right now in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they start tomorrow. And so that's the other part that I wanted to talk about, is that here in Tampa, they're actually thinking, and the word that's going around, and it's unconfirmed from what we have so far and what I've been able to touch on, and I really can't touch on a lot, but there were emails going back and forth from Jill Kelly and, not Jill Kelly, but the Petraeus and Blackwell about what happened in Benghazi. So that's where we are at this point. I'm still trying to confirm it. We do have it's a source that we have that says that that's what happened. Washington knows about it. So that's where they're – I think that's why it's all coming out now. And there's also some sources are saying that they tried to delay it just because of the elections that have taken place. So we'll see.
Yeah, Broadwell actually is a West Point graduate and was writing a biography of Petraeus. But the age difference, Petraeus 60 and Broadwell 40, I mean, I give the man kudos. But here's my question to you, Grover. Petraeus being the director of the CIA, which I think is, you know, the Central Intelligence Agency, how could someone get tripped up on a simple emailing campaign? Victoria, you were mentioning that there was, 30,000 emails during this courtship?
Mm-hmm. The 20 to 30,000 emails was allegedly from General Allen. That's another top general to Jill Kelly. So, yeah, that was allegedly between those two, and I know that there's an investigation going on right now. So, of course, and then he was General Allen was supposed to be nominated for a top government army post. But that has now been put on delay or pause as a result of this whole investigation into it with him. But I'm telling you, it's one of those things where there's no one in the world who could have written something better like this than even a James Bond movie, the twist and the tangle webs that all of this is actually taken. But it is, guys, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, of course, now everyone is saying – that the president knew about it, but the way that I feel about it right now, and just sort of given the information, of course, my opinion or whatever could change, but it really seems like to me that he was kept out of the loop until the time that he found out, and that he really had no idea. I mean,
yeah, it's Yeah, you know, and that's exactly what he said yesterday during his news conference, that he had no idea. He found out on Friday, just like everyone else did, once Petraeus resigned. I think we all were, I was in my afternoon editorial meeting when that AP alert came down, and we sent our reporters directly to CENTCOM here in Tampa, because we knew that everyone knew David Petraeus because he came from MacDill Air Force Base. So, you know, the president had no idea. Dianne Feinstein, the chair of the committee, had no idea, and she's up in arms about everything too. And I feel bad, and I know we're not talking about this for Rice, UN Ambassador Rice, because mm-hmm. she's also taking the heat for this too. So it's going to be an interesting turn of events in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Broadwell too is married, mother of two, from North Carolina. Any news as to what her husband's thinking about the whole situation?
No, you know, I talked to a few of my friends that are working on that side of the up in North Carolina too, and they're going through the same exact thing, stakeout after stakeout. Honestly, I feel like I'm working for TMZ some days. Because we have reporters, two reporters at the house at Joe Kelly's house. We have a reporter at the FBI agent's house in Tampa, and then we also have a reporter at MacDill Air Force Base. And they're just staked out, and so they're on for 24 hours and they're off for 12 hours and they're off for 12 hours. And the next set of reporters come on and take over their side. So it's interesting. We're trying to get that new fresh piece of video, anything new or anything, you know, a new angle that we can take. We're definitely doing it that way too. So it's interesting.
Grover, I have a question for you because of course you are down in that area. What is life like, you know, for people in that area with that military base? I mean, obviously. It's a military base that you've got a lot of. I mean, do you have a lot of military families? Are they always coming and going?
We do.
Give us a sense of the environment, what it's like there.
You know, it's actually the same way that you and I would live in Baltimore or in Maryland. You know, you have a military base. You'll hear aircraft going off every once in a while. It's very loud. But other than that, it's, you know, you see them, you say hi, thank you for your service. It's very calm and just relaxed. That's pretty much mm-hmm. it. I think they do have a lot of traffic in the morning or in the evening, but that's every federal building that you encounter. But other than that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Hmm. Two. They had investigators had found classified information on a computer belonging to Broadwell. That was
mm-hmm.
released by Fran Townsend on Wednesday and stuff. Any idea exactly what was the subject of content?
I can't say that one.
No. Do you know? You're just not telling us. I love the heightened
yeah.
suspense.
Yeah.
I know. I Michael, when he said that, of course I was focusing on the show, but I was writing some information inside the chat room, and then I said straight up, like, "Oh, that means he knows something, and he can't tell us." But no,
yeah,
we were
briefed.
But certainly,
yesterday,
I do know Grover. When you are able to release that, then you you would be more than willing to let us know. So I understand that.
Yeah, our newsman was briefed on a few things that happened that was captured, but yeah, I can't release it.
All right. Okay.
Wow.
Well, you continue to follow this. I mean, as I know you will. We have a couple of seconds left with you, Grover. I do want you to touch on, of course, since it happened there again in the state of Florida, the whole issue with the voting. So what were the major problems in that folks had to stand in line for hours in some places to vote? Did we ever figure that out?
Victoria, where do I begin? Where do I begin with this one? It was... It was a cluster. It was definitely a cluster. We had early voting that started early, and then the governor earlier in the year had cut it down from 2 weeks to only a week. And so, you know, we have storms here every day. So that impacted some of the early voting. And then when it got to the end, there were folks that were standing in line for 6 to 8 hours, missing their work because they had to spend that whole time voting or standing in line to vote. So then some of the elections boards would actually go ahead and open their buildings on the weekends to actually alleviate some of the early voting lines. However, there were still more people coming in and voting, and it was just a complete disaster. So now,
well, listen, Grover, listen, I know we've got to run, Ellen, because we've got our next guest on, and she's on a cell phone at the airport, and I don't want her cell phone to run out.
Okay.
But basically, just to kind of sum it up, so does the election board think that's going to be resolved the next time over?
You know, that's what they're going through this right now. They're going to different meetings. We actually did a story Monday on the there's a committee that's come together to actually figure out what happened. The main issue is that the governor cut down early voting, and
okay.
that's where it actually lied.
Okay. Well, listen, love, thank you so much, and as we continue to update the Petraeus, we'll have you back on when you're able to release any new details. So when you're able to do that, email me or Michael Kay, and we'll grab a show and get you back on because you're right down there in the seat of it, of where it happened. So, listen, I hope to see you very soon in the D.C. area, and we always appreciate your input on the show. And thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
I know,
oh
yeah,
goodness.
Michael, okay, we've got to come up with some kind of special music for him, because anytime
he's
over
in the
house,
so dishy
something's wrong.
In. Yeah, absolutely.
I know, it's always bad stuff.
No problem. Cindy's call just dropped off, so we're going to go a little bit of music tonight. Cindy Johnson is participating in a wheelchair bodybuilding competition in Rockford, Alabama, Rockford, Atlanta, and we're going to go ahead and also talk to Brett Michaels a little bit later on in the show, but let's go to a little bit of music. This is, Let It Go by Brett Michaels. Seems fitting after the Terrace Trial. Anyways, don't go anywhere. Cindy Johnson's back with us.
I just let go inside the first time in a very long time, and now I pray for no consequence, but I won't hide this time, no, 'cause life begins right here. The place I always fear. Yeah. So breathe in, let it go. Don't think so much anymore. How it ends, you never know. So breathe in, let it go. Rising up like high tide from a pool of a cesspool.
can find out more about Bret Michaels at bretmichaels.com. Victoria, you know what I forgot to ask Grover? I forgot to ask Grover how Elmo was doing.
Oh, yes. Well, we are very, very happy to say Elmo, or at least the voice of Elmo, Kevin Clash, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. What was it, Michael, a few days ago he decided to step down from his position and sort of, I guess, take a leave of absence to clear up some issues regarding allegations that was made against him that he had inappropriate sexual relations with a then 16-year-old boy. But since then, the boy, who is now 23, I believe, has come forward to say and recant his story to say that, you know, we did have a sexual relationship, but I was of age, that he wasn't 16 years old. And apparently the press release that was put out from the lawyer's office that did that said that that was all that he had to say. So, you know, it is I kind of think of sort of two things in this sort of story. It is kind of sad that someone, you know, in this world of the internet and just, you know, fast information can kind of put out there and say, yeah, we did this, and then 2 days later say, oh, I lied. No, it didn't happen the way that I said that it happened. So that's kind of sad.
No, absolutely. And again, just to remind us that innocent until proven guilty is still, you know, a big, big portion of this country. I think everybody tends to go on this vigilante justice quest. And, you know, basically, I know Facebook just lit up like crazy over it.
Yeah.
And again, the mob mentality is kind of frightening at certain times. And I don't know why we're like that. But, you know, I was certainly one to make a comment, and now I retract it. But, yeah, it was terribly frightening.
Well, I don't think you were, you know, I don't think you were the only one, because and I have to be honest, when I saw it, I was so disappointed. I thought, you have got to be kidding me. And one thing about Kevin, if anyone lives in Baltimore or the Baltimore area, Kevin is very, very well known there. He was born and raised in the Baltimore area. In fact, the television station where I worked on air and also as a producer, he got his start at WMAR on a Saturday morning sort of cartoon-like show. So, you know, I remember walking through the hallway in WMAR. This was a while back, and they would have some of the older pictures of him when he was there, when he was younger in his career. So he's kind of like a legend in Baltimore. So to see something like that, you know, immediately, of course, your other thought is of the kid, too. So, yeah, I mean, that, you know, and especially, too, Michael, and I know everyone listening is going to agree, we just came off of that case with Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
With, the whole Joe Paterno thing and, you know, Penn State and Sandusky and all of that with, you know, him being convicted. So, you know, people are kind of, you know, like that, I guess.
People are certainly on edge. And I think everybody, too, especially right after the election and people wanting to. What do you think about all those people from the 50 states signing petitions to go ahead and secede to different countries and stuff? I find that to be quite giggly.
Yeah, actually, first of all, I mean, I can't imagine that would happen. And, of course, because it has been in the news, there's been a few constitutional scholars as well as lawyers that have looked into the issue to say, you know, what would it really take for, you know, an American state to decide that it wants to pull away. And apparently from what they can tell and how that would sort of work out, it just really can't happen. But, you know, my thing is that, you know, whether you obviously agree that President Obama won, or if you're one of the people that did not vote for him, you know, I was always brought up to sort of like, don't be a sore loser. You know, it is what it is. You know, if you don't like it, then, you know, that's the great thing about this country. In 4 years, you'll have the opportunity to select someone else into office. So it's just kind of like when you have a kid and they can't have something and you sort of feel like they're kind of pouting about it. So, but something interesting, and I had talked to you about this that I did. I read an article. Can't remember where it was, but generally it's very common after elections are over that the party that loses, there's a tremendous amount of people that will contact lawyers in Canada, your homeland, and actually ask what's the process for them to leave the United States, because they just don't like the U.S. anymore. They don't like anything about it, and they want to move to Canada. And this particular lawyer, I laughed because he said he felt more like a therapist, because he basically is just on the phone and writing letters and listening to them sort of vent about what it is that they don't like about the American system. He says, but from his experience of over, I think, close to 30 years of being in the that business, that only one person actually left the U.S., moved away from the U.S., and moved to Canada. So, yeah, it is kind of interesting.
Yeah, Canada has a point system as well. So if you have a diploma from a trade school, you get so many points. A diploma from college is a certificate of completion and stuff like that. So all these points add up, and it depends on how many points, whether or not you're granted admission into Canada. But that whole process will take you 3.5 years. So it's sort of things, well, wait 6 months, and nothing's
right.
Too bad. So anyway, Cindy Johnson is actually joining us from Rockford, Georgia. I'm really thrilled that she's made it, because I know that she has had one hell day of traveling. Cindy, welcome to the show, hon.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. To Rockford, Illinois.
Rockford, Illinois.
Who's had the heck of a day now?
Really?
Just literally got off the bus. Haven't even checked into the room.
Oh, God. Well, thank
I am
you so
in
much.
The front of the hotel.
Thank you so much for joining us, honey. How was everything going?
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, sweetie.
Honey, always a pleasure. Now you're competing. You've had a rough little kind of setback. You were in the hospital again for a little while, but you're back, worked out. You're all buff and beautiful again. what exactly are you competing for this weekend?
Well, it's the Mid-States Muscle Classic here in Rockford. It's Kevin Noble's show. He has the show twice a year. Of course, in May it's called the Grand Prix. But now it's the Mid-States Muscle Classic, and it is very special this November. It's the 25th anniversary of the Mid-States Muscle Classic.
Wow.
So it's extra, extra special this time around.
Fantastic.
So I'm going for the women's division, of course, the wheelchair. So going to try and take it home again.
Well,
Of course, going for best poser, so got to try and go for that award.
Absolutely. Victoria, were you on last time when Cindy was on with us? Or were you
away? Of
course
I was.
You were?
You
okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Also, Tuesday, I want to just point out, too, did you have an MS flare-up? You and I were talking a while
I had
back,
a relapse when I came
relapse.
Home from the Nationals in New Orleans. I mean, I was down for 2 months, and then when I got better, that's when I fell on my face. You know, I fell literally out of my wheelchair, you know, and I cracked that cheekbone. When you talked to me when I had that last interview, I had just had surgery, like my third surgery on my face. So, you know, I'm just, you know, coming off of that. I had, you know, come home from New Orleans in June. And then was in and out of the hospital several times, and then, you know, no sooner got well from that here in September, boom, fell on my face.
Yeah.
Just busted up my face. So.
Wow. For those who haven't...
I just made out of cheap crap altogether.
Yeah, go ahead, Victoria.
No, I was going to say, the last time you were on, I remember we received so many emails, and just there was so much information that folks were writing on the wall. Facebook talking about what an inspiration that you are in terms of you telling your story. So I just want to, I mean, you don't have to go into all of the details about what happened, but if you could just focus on, talk a little bit about what happened, and also, again, you know, the kind of pace and routine that you keep up, you know, to get involved in this competition that you're doing right now.
Oh, well, to even try and do this one, I literally pulled this out of thin air. I really don't even know how I accomplished even getting ready. I don't even feel ready, to tell you the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
But you're your own worst critic when it comes to prepping for a show. I don't think as bodybuilders we ever feel ready, especially coming from a woman's point of view. Women are even more critical than men are when it comes to looking in the mirror and what we see. But I didn't get to work out from what I feel nearly as hard enough as I wanted to. But as a daily routine, you know, I try to get in the gym 6 days a week. You know, I prefer 7, but 6. But being so sick as I was over the summer, it was impossible.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, when I came home from New Orleans, I only wanted to take, you know, a maximum of 3 weeks off, and it ended up being until October that I was off. So, I mean,
wow.
I literally had to train twice a day during, you know, all of October up until now to
yeah.
get to the point of where I am. And I lost a considerable amount of weight. I lost 30 pounds where I was 145
really?
In New Orleans. I am now 109, I am sad to say.
Jesus, honey.
Yeah.
How do you even start putting back
well,
that kind
know,
of weight
it's
on?
Interesting. I mean, it's interesting still that, you know, you did lose that weight. And here again, Michael, and we talked about this before, and even people that listened to your story the first time, you still have that determination and that will in you that still, even with that said, that you're still there. That's amazing.
It's like I said, it's a passion. It's something that even with all the pain and the heartache that I go through with it, I cannot give up. I can't stop. It's what defines me. If I stop doing it, it's like I stop existing. It's
yeah.
like the MS wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you have
it literally beats me up, and it's being in the gym literally takes my mind off of the pain of being sick. Now, granted, I come back home and sometimes I feel worse than when I woke up and regret
right.
going, but at least I did it.
Now, you have a different classification of MS than relapsing, remitting, or primary progressive. What exactly is your classification?
It's malignant, or also known as fulminant.
Okay, so that's a level above secondary progressive, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole different level. See, I don't even know how you go ahead and get out of bed sometime, because I know with Steve, with secondary progressive, I mean, there is just so much he could do at a certain time. So I think desperately the bodybuilding will take your mind off the disease, but I know through my own research that exercise will certainly, it'll exacerbate and it'll help with the disease. Would you agree?
Hmm.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So when the competition is tomorrow then?
No, check-in is tomorrow, but the actual competition itself is on Saturday.
It is on Saturday. Well, honey, I want to go ahead and wish you from the bottom of our heart every bit of great luck, good light, best purple, Reiki, healing, all that good stuff your
no,
way.
Thank you.
And I just applaud you. You are an inspiration to our listeners. And you are just a woman to be reckoned with, honey. I really, really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's been a hell day, and I know you're tired, and you want
I
to
know.
Go upstairs and take a shower.
I just want food.
I know, Cindy. I'm sitting here thinking about that, and just not only the effort that you're going to be making on Saturday, but just the effort. I'm so touched that you made to call in tonight to the show when it's probably easier for you to be like, forget Michael and Victoria. I'll talk to
them
later. I have more important
no,
stuff.
No, I would have called in,
so
but I had like one bar left, and I'm like, and, you know, they're trying to unload me off this, you know, this bus, and this thing's beeping loud, and I was like, I'm not going to call in and have it cut out, and they can't hear me, and I'm like, just stall 5 minutes, please, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
no
Michael,
worries.
You better say goodnight to Cindy. That's just so awesome.
Yeah, Cindy, goodnight, honey. Get something to eat. And seriously, I'll be keep in touch on Facebook and stuff. I can't wait to hear the results of the competition
Definitely.
This weekend, honey. But huge love to you, honey, okay?
This is.
Huge love to you both. Thank you.
Take care, honey.
And again, everyone, for those of you that don't know Cindy's story, I always feel like I think Michael is the journalist in me that I've got to give a quick sort of background information. So Cindy was on our show before, and she is a personal trainer as well as an amateur bodybuilder. Now, what makes her different, and Michael, I hate to use the word different because we've talked about this with her before, she doesn't consider herself different. She just because of her disease. She's in a wheelchair. So it's just one of those things when you look at her pictures and you look at her workout routine and you follow her and you listen to her, even despite the weight that the weight loss that that she talked about tonight, she's such an inspiration because you look at her, Michael, and you think, are you kidding me? I have two legs that I can get up and go do something. And you look at her and, you know, as sick as she is and as the tremendous amount of pain that she's in, she still continues to move forward, Michael.
Yeah, and I tell you, inspiration is just the lightest word I can use for her. Her determination is immeasurable and something to be quite applauded. So we wish her the best in Rockford, Illinois this weekend. She's going to be competing in the women's division of the bodybuilding championships there in Rockford, and we're just thrilled for her. So coming up, we have Brett Michaels, so we're going to open with a song. Victoria, this song that Brett sent me is not even mastered yet. It's one of his newest works. I got it basically a couple hours before the show, so I'm really, really thrilled to introduce this to the audience. It's a little long. It's 5 minutes long, but it's worth every ounce of listening. So this is Brett Michaels with Livin' or Leavin', and when we come back, Brett Michaels is in the house. Hold on.
to the ground. Rain fills the air, the sweetest smell around. And the change of a season deserves to remind. If my heart's still beating, well then it's live free or die.
Great tune. It's very kind of 70s vibe.
Well, you know, I would lie if I said I wasn't around during the 70s. So.
Michael, you didn't tell me this guy. You didn't tell me this guy had a great personality too.
Oh, Brett,
thank you so much. How are you guys doing?
Doing
good.
Fantastic. Absolutely. I want to thank you so much again, Brett, for standing by, calling in just in case Cindy had – did you hear Cindy's little interview? She had a hell of a day traveling today, so thanks a lot for standing by. I appreciate it.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah, sure. No, I didn't – I literally just pulled in myself. I was able to be back, but, you know, racing around like the rest of us. I'm sorry she had trouble. That's a drag.
Yeah, you know, everything is crappy sometimes. But tell us about Living or Leaving. It's quite a departure from your other stuff. Why the sudden departure? Why the change?
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just getting to a place in my life where, you know, I feel like, and it may just be part of what's in the air, but it really does feel like there's just so much ambivalence, like people are on the fence about a lot of stuff in this last election. Not that it was the inspiration, but just in general, I just like a lot of people, including myself, who've spent time sitting on the fence in between things, just going, you know, I've been guilty of whining and saying, I don't know if I want to go. I'm tired, and I'd rather just sit and have a glass of wine, you know. and yet, you know, days go by, and whatever dreams any of us have just sort of drift away, and I just feel like, you know. It's kind of really, it's it. It's live or not live. And, you know, Cindy is a perfect example. I just can't believe it worked out so wonderful today because, you know, she's living and she's really living. She's not letting anything hold her back. And it's like, God, you know, those people that have so much more going for them and they just sort of, you know, I guess wind their way through life. I just like, God, you know, get on with it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good point, Vic.
I guess that's where it came from. Yeah, it's funny because Michael and I both want to jump in if we can hear our breath sort of coming out. But I wanted to say in that song, Brett and Michael, was so appropriate coming off of the back of Cindy Johnson, because here you have somebody who suffers from a terrible disease, who's in a wheelchair, you know, who's had this crappy day traveling, you know, to get to where she needs to go to be in this bodybuilding competition this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like you think that somebody like her may, you know, you can certainly see why they would have a reason to complain. And then you look at yourself and you're like, well, really, I don't have that much reason to complain. So I think that song is great. And I totally agree with you. I mean, it really does kind of make you think about things. And besides that, you know, it's just something that's really nice that you can kind of pat your feet to and just kind of, you know, be sort of soothing and mellow at the same time. At least that's what it was for me when I listened to it.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I'm glad you dug it. It's, you know, I do write quite a bit. I was writing with another artist today and I'm working on this new record. And, you know, part of it is I really just enjoyed playing kind of, I got the funky white boy thing in my bones, and I am Steve Martin, but I do like to play my guitar, and if there's one thing I just kind of yearn for is just kind of cranking it up and playing, and a couple of the new tunes have just fallen out of me like that, and I'm just kind of experimenting, but it's just fun to play. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds so fantastic. We were playing some songs of yours before from your other album. Your other album's entitled what again? Remind me.
The solo album was called Deep Enough, and the band record for Visual Flight Rules was called What Are You Waiting For?
Right. And they can go ahead and find that on your brettmichaels.com website. You can also go ahead and actually friend him on Facebook. He's Facebook. And you know what? You haven't even responded to my friend request yet, but I think it's because you have too many bloody friends in that one. But, yeah, go ahead and friend him on facebook.com/Brett Michaels, M-I-K-E-L-S. Brett, what's coming up for you besides working on the new album? Are you playing anywhere down in California?
You know, right now, no. I've kind of had to block out the time to get in the studio. I've got Leah, this other artist named Leah Lapidot, has got some stuff coming out. I work with her, and then I'm just kind of writing now and getting ready to go in the studio. I just did a bunch of stuff up the coast, and right now there's nothing really booked. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm feeling this creative thing I'm going right now, and I'll see where it takes me.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead.
You know,
and listen.
I'm sorry, Michael. I have
no
a
problem.
Question, and I've always wondered this about artists when you guys say that you're inside the studio. So if you can, kind of tell us what that process is like. So when you're in the studio, I mean, I'm just assuming, but I don't know. That's why I want you to talk about it. Do you always sort of have a piece of paper and you're just kind of writing, you know, sort of thoughts or music or putting stuff together, rhymes and rhythms and sort of playing, you know, your instruments? How does that work when you're in there?
You know, I think it's probably different as can be for everybody. And inspiration comes when it comes. You know, you try to keep a piece of paper and a pen by the side of the bed at night, you know, and then I've got my cell phone, I got these little recorders, and I'm always just singing little ideas into there. And then, you know, this newer songs, interestingly enough, came about when I picked up a new amps sponsorship that I'm really, really happy about. This guy makes Carp Amps, C-A-R-P Amps. I plug it because I'm happy as can be, and I'm doing videos for this guy as kind of a way to promote him. And I'm just, I turn the camera on and I'm just kind of playing, and I don't know, 5 or 10 ideas just come out kind of in the moment, and it's a combination of, you know, it may sound kind of new agey, but you know, I kind of believe that when I get guitars or I get, you know, gear, amplifier or something, there's as much possibility that there's a song in that guitar, or there's a song in that moment or in that day. And I'd like to be able to say there was some sort of scientific thing to it, but it just shows up when it shows up. And the most important thing is to stop whatever the hell you're doing and flip on something and sing it, because it comes and it goes. Like, it's just...
Gotcha. Okay.
And so if we're lucky enough to be in a studio where you have... You know, if there was billions of dollars laying around, and I was in, like, the old idea of a studio where you have, you know, a studio that costs $10,000 a day and you have access to it day and night, then you can really take the moment and flesh it out. But I have my project studio at home, and I just it's finger painting, or it's just, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love the organic sound, and it's so important to do it. So let's go back to some of the music. Again, a brand new, just got it today a couple hours ago. This is Brett Michaels with Fly Right By. Don't go away. More with Brett when we get back.
And then you're back in there. Gone so fast you can't remember what was there. Same time flies, but you're having fun. Burning up the days as you spin your way around the sun. superstar big in Japan. Making the most of the days go by, holding on with all you guys, hell of a roller coaster ride.
Michaels with Fly Right By, amazing tune. I just want to go ahead and make a quick mention of the chat room. Grover Morrell, Goofy Bone was here, guest 9168, guest 9367, Kelly Hughes from down the street, Marby in Nashville, and Robinson Ramirez, good friend of Cindy Johnson. But, buddy, that last tune is toe-tapping goodness. It's tailgating music.
Well, it's, you know, I was back east in Minnesota for a little bit, and I was watching this movie, the It Might Get Loud, that shows Jimmy Page and the White Stripes, Jack White. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just had an effect. And I did that as both of those things are demos I just finished. And they're just they're fun. And I thought I'd send you. If you thought they were worthy of playing, then man, thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure, buddy. Always a treat. You also have great videos on YouTube. It's YouTube/ Virtual Flight Rules. I think is the
Visual Flight Rules.
Visual Flight Rules, absolutely. Check it out on YouTube. Again, I enjoy visiting you there because the tunage is simply spectacular, and I really applaud you for bringing back great talent, because out there right now, who are you listening to? Who are you looking for to kind of, you know, like right now? Because it's slim pickings between Nicki Minaj and some of the crap out there.
I got to say, you know, it may be apparent in the songs that I'm writing, but I kind of was around in the 70s. And so I don't listen to radio, if I'm being honest, and I just keep going back to stuff that I loved. I mean, I think when we talked last time, and thank you so much for having me on again. I think that I just keep going back to the early Stevie Wonder stuff and just so much good stuff from the 60s and 70s that, you know, I don't really find. I keep going back to that. What can I say? Zeppelin, Stones. Everything. It was just too good an era. I want those records.
I totally agree with you. It's interesting that you say that you keep going back to that type of music, because today, as I was in the car just sort of driving around doing my thing, we have XM, and I always find myself, if I'm not listening to the news, always having it on the 70s station. And every single time a song comes on, you know, I'm one of those people in the car that say, oh, my God, I love that song. And I'm singing along, and then that song goes off. And then another song comes on. I'm like, oh, man, that was a good song. So I was just doing that today, and it just reminded me of that when you said that. Because every single song, Brett, that came on was a song that I absolutely loved. And it was a really, really good song in terms of the words, in terms of the music, in terms of how it made you feel. You know, whether it was a sort of an emotional song that tugged at your heart, or whether it was a song like yours that we just heard that just really made you happy and, you know, just sort of feel upbeat. But you're right, you know, that, you know, people laugh a lot about the 70s and the big hair and all the, you know, the fashion and the sort of pop culture that sort of went with it. But, you know, I think if you ask, you know, just your everyday person of a certain age, what kind of music they like, I mean, most people will tell you that they love the music from the 70s.
Well, you're right. And I started kind of playing in bands in the 80s, and I have incriminating pictures of me with really awful hair and all that. But I know that even then and now, like, I still see You know, the vintage T-shirts that some of the, like, the younger high school types and kids are wearing. You still see guys with Zeppelin shirts, or you see with, you mm-hmm. know, Bob Marley shirt. Bob Marley is, like, to me, is the quintessential, he's the dude, period. And, you know, people are still listening to those. The younger children are still discussing that and going, oh, okay, this is the fountain. This is the kind of beginning of it all. And, of course, there were roots to that stuff, but for me that was such a rich period and rich era in music that I keep referring back to that. And there's a lot of amazing musicians out there, and I'm still a big fan of, like, I think John Mayer is one of the guys that kind of ushered that back in. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of great singers and stuff out there, but I guess I find myself so busy working on my stuff or other artists that I don't really search for stuff. I don't get the luxury of being a fan quite as much as I used to. Being busy, and also when I got tunes in my head, I want to get them out. And I don't want to, like, oh, wait a minute, you know, and have somebody else's stuff sneak into my song on accident because I was listening to it and go, oh, I can't use it, you know.
Yeah. It's funny that now Led Zeppelin T-shirts are considered vintage. I find that just so giggly right now. But that's the time. But buddy, we're running out of time. I want to go ahead and thank you again for coming on and sharing brand new music, man. I love the new tunage. Please feel free to come back anytime. You've got new stuff down the pike. You're always welcome here. But again, just a huge pleasure chatting with you. And again, thank you for your kindness this evening. I really appreciate it.
Oh, always. I'm grateful to you. This is a huge opportunity, so I thank you very much.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Brett.
Buddy. You take care, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Brett Michaels.
And Michael, you know, his music is so amazing because you kind of went from that sort of toe-tapping, makes you really happy, to the first song that, you know, you really kind of, you know, sort of put you in a place where you were sort of thinking about things and thinking about your life and relating that song, you know, to your life. So it's, very, very, very cool.
Yeah, very neat. You can find him again at www.brettmichaels, BrettMichaels. It's up in the chat room, Marilyn. Just put it in. Want to thank again everybody up in chat and thank all of our guests. Want to thank Grover Morrell for joining us at the top of the hour. Want to thank Cindy Johnson, wishing her the best in Rockford, Illinois at the Bodybuilding Championships. Victoria, we have to make special mention to Mike and Kim Collup. They attended a very sad service today of a little girl by the name of, and her name is again,
Emma Claire,
yeah, died of Rett syndrome, and just a lovely little girl, very young, and broke my heart to see the pictures, Vic. That must have been a heartbreaking service.
Yeah, it was, and I mentioned to Mike and Kim because they have been, of course, talking about it and keeping all of us posted about it on Facebook. And it is really sad because, you know, she was so young. I don't know what her exact age was, but she was certainly, seemed like to me, under 10 years.
Yeah,
about 7 or, you know, 7, 8, whatever, in that age range. And from what I can tell, she seemed like she was a kid for the short time that she was here with us on Earth, enjoyed life and brought, you know, wonderful memories and made a lot of connections just through the disease that actually took her away from us. And I extended the invitation, of course not right now, because not a lot of us know about that syndrome.
Right,
So I'm hoping that, and I'm sure, you know, in time, someone from her family, and we'll try to get someone from the organization to come on and tell us a little bit more about it. But I just wanted to let Kim and Mike Cullop know that we are certainly thinking about them and also her parents as well. I believe her mother is Beth, but the family's name is Raleigh, and they are from the state of Maryland, live out there in Mount Airy, Maryland. So just, you know, our prayers and our thoughts from At Home with Victoria certainly go out to them. And Mike Cullop mentioned on Facebook today that there were over, I think, 100 people that came to the viewing and also the services for her today, and probably even more than that. So I just wanted to, you know, certainly mention that for Mike and Kim, and also Beth Rowley, I believe, who is her mom, but her name was Emma Claire. And just like her mom said, she has a letter from Emma on Facebook, and I don't want to read all of it because I'll probably end up crying, but you
yeah.
really touched a lot of people's lives. And it is amazing how you have someone like Emma who died so young, but in the time that she was here, she helped and affected more people's lives than some of us that's been here way longer than we
Absolutely.
Do in a lifetime. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And such a reminder to this whole show reminds me just to go ahead and keep on living, keep on trying and everything. So we're going to close with a little bit more of Bret Michaels' music. This is What Are You Waiting For? Vic, I want to thank you for a great show. Thank everybody up in chat. And have a great evening, everybody. And keep living. Keep trying. So this
yeah.
is Bret Michaels with What Are You Waiting For? Good night, everybody.
From life, I get the same thing from you each time. You say these things take time, and it still don't feel quite right. But it's cool, I don't really mind. And I'm gonna be the strong one today. Say what your other friends might not. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And you say you're kinda tired, you're kinda wiped out. It's been a long day again. And you're sorry to be a slave, but you'd rather just stay in. Besides, you ain't got much to say. I'm gonna be the stronger one today. Say what your other friends might not say. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Life ain't gonna be the same. He's not coming back, my friend. It's time to let him go and just breathe again. And I know it may never feel quite right. Well, that's 'cause you're holding on so tight. What it was, ain't what it's gonna be. Give it another try. I'm gonna be the stronger one today. Say what your other friends might not say. You should know that you're worth the wait. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting
for? What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.